Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
I travel the world, as I said, see great churches everywhere. And I want to preach a message on the new uprising. There's an uprising happening on the planet. You won't read it in the papers. Your TV won't report it. But there is the most phenomenal uprising of people for this season in God like never before. And many of those people are awakening to a fresh stance in God. How to live in these days. They've been in church a long time, but it's like God is stirring their heart to rise in faith into a new season. And so I want to talk to you. The new uprising, arise, shine, your light has come. Give me that bottle of water down there and make haste. Thanks, man. Is that mine or Caleb's? So we're going to look at a scripture in the Bible in Isaiah somewhere. Isaiah 60 verse 1. I think we've got this stuff on the screen. Yeah, we have. This is an amazing scripture. God is speaking here to the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem when they're going through tough times. It's just not working. And God says, I promise you this, there'll come a time when my glory covers the whole earth. And in that day, you will arise and shine and your light has come. You'll know that and my glorious light will increase upon you. Arise, shine, your light has come and the glory of the Lord, the glorious light will increase upon you. If you read this in an Australian Bible, it would say something, instead of arise, shine, it would say, get up and strut your stuff. Like if your Canadian hockey team beat the Americans. Oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't remember. Oh, I'm sorry. I have no idea. I have no idea. Silly thing to say, but she was good. But when something incredible happens, get up and strut your stuff. And that's what God is saying. I'm going to give you a season on planet Earth where my glorious light comes and shines on you in a profound way, and you'll be able to get up and strut like a winner. That's what's happening on planet Earth. People everywhere are realizing this is our time. God is visiting the planet. And I've got to change my modus operandi, how I do faith and life. And I've got to start to rise in faith into this glorious light, the God light that's shining, and live differently. There's a new uprising happening. It's phenomenal. The Bible says, if you read the rest of Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. Verse 2 on, it goes, and darkness will cover the earth, even gross darkness. And so in these days, and I believe we're living in them, there have been a number of these times in history. But I believe in these days, there's a contrast between the gross darkness of wickedness. You don't have to be too bright to realize there's stuff happening on planet Earth that's grossly wicked. And there'll be a contrast at the same time between the gross darkness of wickedness and the glorious light of righteousness. And you've got to make a choice. You can either back away because it all looks so gross and dark and hide in your little cave, or you can make a choice. No, God said, when you see that, I'll shine my light, my glorious light, and you have to make a choice by faith to rise up into it, and you'll find safety and strength and blessing and provision and every good thing in the light of His glory. It's a choice you have to make. And so, if we're going to rise into this glorious light, a lot of people don't know what it is. So I'm going to help you realize what you have to rise into. The Bible reveals that out of God flow three things, nonstop, 24/7. Just flow from God continually. And they are eternal light, eternal life, and eternal love. those three things. Flowing from God to you, to planet Earth, to here today, light, life, and love, eternal light, life, and love. That's phenomenal. But you need to realize that eternal light, life, and love are different to created light, created life, and created love. They're totally different. So this is where a lot of people get it wrong. I have to arise into this light, and they try and rise into the created light of religion. Well, I've got to just try and live a bit better. No, they're totally different. You see, created love, for example, is different to eternal love. Created love says, I'll love you if you love me. And so people come to me and say, I could never forgive that person for what they've done to me. I just can't do it. And I say, no, I couldn't either. I can't forgive out of natural love, created love. I need God's love. For God so loved while I was a filthy sinner that he sent his son to die for me. He forgave me before I even wanted to know him. And so it's totally different. Created love to eternal love. Same with eternal life. It's different to created life. In 2003, my eldest son Andrew died of cancer. And people came to say, how'd you handle that? Why don't your kids go into heaven before you do? And the truth is, that's a big deal. Very challenging. And after a lot of verbose responses, the truth is you come down to a simple response. How'd you handle that, your son dying? And we now respond, well, he had a different life source. He died of created life, but he now lives with eternal life. It's totally different. And when you realize that, you understand why the Bible says we don't sorrow as those that don't know Christ. Because it's two different. And the same with eternal light. You got to get this. Eternal light is not the same as created light. We've got to learn how to rise into eternal light. Do you know that eternal light, God's light, doesn't reveal skin color? Just doesn't know it. Even better news, it doesn't reveal body shape. Now that's good news. It doesn't reveal male or female. God's eternal light. Because God's eternal light does not reveal the dust of humanity. It's different to created light. The sun, the moon, the stars, and created light, I can see you. But all I see is your humanity with created light. Most religious rules and regulations come from the created light of our understanding. And so we create this light that says, religious light shines on you, you better be a better person. And so we try and polish this earthen vessel to try and be a little bit better. That's created light. How many of you know we're all crackpots? We're all flawed individuals. Hang on, she's taking a photo. We're all flawed individuals. Just get the light on the face. I'm sorry. Just can't help myself. This is very important. It's not a time to laugh. When God says rise and shine into his glorious light, there'll come times on planet Earth where the kingdom, and I believe the kingdom is getting closer, the light is getting stronger. We've got to learn how to rise into the glorious light, and that's not religious light. Religion says you better perform a bit better. We're watching you. We're shining to check you out. We know your past. God's eternal light doesn't shine on your past. It's always on your future. Never. And so what does What is this eternal light which we've got to rise into now to live and be different people? What does it reveal when it shines? Because it's not going to shine on our humanity, on our fallenness. So number one, here's the first thing that the eternal light of God shines on. Number one, when God's light shines, it reveals Jesus Christ in you. It reveals Christ in you. This is so important. Eternal, that's the only thing eternal light can shine on, Jesus. Because he's the light of the world. It doesn't shine on you because you're pretty or good looking or what. It doesn't. Eternal light shines on Christ in you. There's a scripture we've got somewhere in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse whatever it is. It says this: for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This is not God trying to get a lucky break in life. He's commanded light to shine. It will do its work. It cannot fail. It's God who's commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So if God says, I want you to arise into my light, he's saying, rise up in faith and let the light reveal Jesus in you. It shines on the face of Jesus. And whenever you rise into the light, people will see Jesus in you. How powerful is that? Every morning, I like to, I get up and I go to the mirror to look in the mirror, check that I'm still here. And I look, whoa. Oh, that's, I think I've sprained something. Anyway, so you do that every morning, look in the mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see struggling Steve? And you can look and say, oh, well, that's me. Didn't do so well yesterday. Or do you look in the mirror and see Saint Stephen? It's got a nice ring to it. Saint Stephen. You can go home today and say we had Saint Stephen in church. The sad thing is that so many people look in the mirror and they look with the light of creation. Oh, I'm getting more wrinkles. A little bit more expansion. You have to practice every day of your life rising into the light of his glory that reveals Jesus. And so you have to look and see Jesus at work in you. Every day I look in the mirror and you got to practice not looking for your imperfections. You're looking every day, you rise in faith, say, Jesus, thank you. I'm one day more glorious. I'm just getting better at revealing you. See, the world's not waiting for you to get your new car, your fancy job. They're waiting for you to show them Jesus. He's the hope of the world, the desire of the nations. And this new uprising is not about people getting prosperous. It's about people learning to rise up and see the face of Jesus in them so that others can see the face of Jesus. Okay, when God looks at you. Next. And we got it. Have a look at this. When God looks at you, you have to remember this. When God looks at you, he shines eternal light. All he can see is Christ in you. You say, well, God, you know that little, I tried to run over the cat yesterday and what it. No. His light doesn't reveal all that. His light reveals Christ in you. And as Jesus shines, you become aware of the areas that you want to surrender to him. God is not fixated on sin. He's fixed on your Savior. Big difference. And you have to learn to do that if you're ever going to reveal Jesus in this generation. When God looks at you, he sees the face of Jesus. But the real question is, when you look at you, what do you see? Do you see struggling Steve? Struggling with this burden of a cross of religious rules and everything else? If you see that, you'll never reveal Jesus. People will see a limping sinner trying to be a saint. Now, I can't be a saint. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the righteous one. And so when you look at you, you have to practice seeing the face of Jesus. You're at work in my life and I'm thankful. The devil says, no, you can't do that. What about yesterday? And you respond, God's light doesn't shine on my failings of yesterday. It shines on the face of Jesus. That's why you've got such a glorious hope, some of you losers. I'm amazed how many Christians feel like losers because you allow created light to shine on your flaws and your failings. So the next one, if you don't see Christ at work in you, when others look at you, they won't see Jesus either because you don't. And then even worse, when you look at others, you won't see Jesus at work in them. When you look at your mother-in-law, what do you see? The face of evil? Well, many people do because when they look at them, they don't see the grace of God at work in me, so I can't see the grace of God at work in you. If you see Jesus at work in you, you can look at the worst of sinners and see Christ at work in them. That's why you'll have faith to see them come through. But you'll never do that if you don't see the face of Jesus at work in you. The second thing that happens when God's light, this glorious light that is increasing on planet Earth, when it shines on you, firstly, it reveals the face of Jesus, Christ in me. People will see Jesus when I rise into that light. And then secondly, God's light reveals your righteousness. This is so powerful. You got to get this truth. God's light reveals your righteousness. There's a scripture in Psalms 37:6. I'm sorry, I dropped back into the original language. In Psalm 37, verse 6, have a look at this. It says, he shall bring forth your righteousness with his light, or as the light. Have you got this? So when God's light shines on you, it reveals the face, shines on the face of Jesus, and then reveals the righteousness of God in Christ. It reveals your righteousness. This is so important. God's light does not reveal your sins, it reveals your Savior. I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. And back when I was a kid, church was very, very legalistic. A lot of created light. And all of our services were what I call dust bowl altar calls. And we just grew up with this, where they would talk about the light of the Holy Spirit. Shining! It's searching deep within you. They get this glazed look about them. Yeah. He's moving. He knows the bad thought. I don't know why it's over here. No. He knows the bad thoughts. And I would shrink back because I'd had some. And he knows every bad word you've. I'd say, damn, I've said something. The only way I could get out of those services, sitting, and we were just young teenagers, you have a fall guy next to you. And they start this Holy Spirit created light. They mix up which it is, this inspection of your humanity. Sins and God knows and everything. And the only thing you can do is go like that. He's talking to you. Get down the front. Fall guy. He was the scapegoat. Then we'd go out for pizza while he wept. In the brokenness of his humanity. God does not inspect and see your flaws. He sees the face of Jesus. And listen, the light of the glory of God shines on the worst sinner in this room and what we would call the best saint. Well, that's probably me. I didn't say which one. But when you get this truth, that God's light reveals Jesus at work in you, and secondly, it only shines on your righteousness because he has counted you as righteous. And so I grew up with this whole legalistic thing, and probably when I got into my early 20s, started to get involved in leadership in church. Our churches in Australia went through quite a reformation where, and they called it back then, something like new creation realities. Who you are in Christ as a new creation. And this American guy came through Australia and he sang a song. And it got into my brain and into my heart and it literally helped change my life. I remember the song. I've doctored it a bit just so it sounds better. But the song says this: I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in him. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. In me he will not impute or add up my sins. I use this with my wife sometimes. Woman. I used that term once. I think the scars have healed. Anyway, I say to Marion, if God's not going to count my sins, woman, nor are you. That's created light. We don't live in that. Did you get this song? Changed my life. See, God's light, I was early 20s and I was struggling between my call to be a God person and my fall of flawed humanity, struggling between the two. And when God began to reveal this, you'll never be more righteous than you are now. You can practice righteousness so you get better at it. It's like a little kid. They'll never be more human than they are. But they practice walking and talking. And you hear what I'm saying? They're complete human. Well, when I got saved, I'm completely righteous. And so are you. You'll never be more righteous. You can practice it. And all of a sudden, I realized that the light focuses on my call, not my fall. And everything changed for me in that moment. It's incredible. I took over a little broken church on the Sunshine Coast, which is 1 hour by car above Brisbane in Queensland, Australia. So it's tropical. It's like Florida. It's warm. Our winters are warmer than your summers and, you know, stuff. I can't wait to get home. Anyway. But that's where I live. I took over this church, been through some tough times. And we grew very quickly. So we needed a new building. And a university was building a new building. So I started to negotiate. They said, no, you'll never get it. We don't want a church every Sunday. And so I just sent my business guy back there every few weeks. We believe it's ours. We want you to give it to us. And so eventually they did. They yielded and said, yeah, you can have it, but you'll pay for it, which we did. And it was fantastic. It seats about 2,000. Wow. And we had walls that we could. So we divided it, 1,000 size foyer and 1,000 inside. Wow. And so we had church there. But a family joined us. And this guy was a huge, tall Texan guy. You know, they're from Texas. I'm just checking. In Europe, they haven't got a clue. And so this Texan guy, big tall guy, his family started to come, and I would come in the back door way up there and walk across this big foyer to the door into the auditorium, and he would wait for me there every Sunday. Every Sunday. The thing was, he wore a Texan hat and boots. He looked absolutely stupid. Just, we're a surfy beach culture. We don't wear like this. Board shorts. Anyway. So he's there every Sunday morning, and I'd walk up to him on the way through. Good morning, how are you? And this is what he said. I'm just a poor sinner boy. It took me by surprise. I thought, you're an idiot. Why would a grown man say that? I'm just a poor sinner boy. He was a successful businessman, ran a big business, successful. So Sunday after Sunday, hey, good morning. I won't say his name. How are you? I'm just a poor sinner boy. I don't know why I let it go on for so long. Maybe a couple, 2 or 3 months. I think because I'm kind, patient, loving, and gentle. You are so rude. Anyway, so one Sunday I walk in. Good morning. Good to see you. How are you? I'm just a poor. And in the middle of it, have you ever said something without thinking? I think the Canadians invented that. Anyway, in the middle of him saying, I'm just a poor. I just, without thinking, and I don't know why, I just said, shut up! It frightened me. I don't know where it came from. And it frightened him, I know, because his hat lifted. I didn't know what to do. We just stood looking at each other. I'm thinking, I'm not saved. He's thinking, he's not saved. And we just looked. And I didn't know what to do, but I remembered a leadership principle I made up. And that is, when you don't know what to do, go on the attack. Great leadership principle. It's just not Christian. Anyway, so I'm there, we're looking. And I went on the attack. I said, we don't pray like that. I don't preach like that. We don't sing like that. And you're not going to talk like that. Really, I was frightening myself. I know he's frightened because his head is spinning. So I just have to turn and I bolt off into the auditorium. So the next Sunday I go back. He's there waiting. And I said, good morning, how? And he said, I'm just a poor sinner boy. And I thought, I'm going to have to hit him. No, I didn't. But I thought, what's going on? And God spoke to me and said, he's not ready to change. You'll have to change. I said, I'm not changing. He's the problem. I said, well, you've got to change. So I went home. Next Sunday, come back. And instead of walking up to him, I start at the door. He's over here. I'm at the door. Good morning, you mighty man of faith, blessed of the Lord. How are you righteous for God? Credible. Overcomer. So by the time I'm there, he's stunned by this. So I leave church, you know. I don't know when I left that church and started to travel. But 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, I went back to my church. I preach there regularly. All my family go there. And so I went back there to preach. And it's a Sunday morning, and I'm standing on the floor down there with the campus pastor, a young guy. And we're standing there talking just before service. And I look up and I see in this aisle up the back, I see the Texan hat coming. And he's walking very, very, you know, forcefully. He gets down here and he points at me. He's, I want to talk to you. I thought, whoa. And so he bowls up. And as he does, he dives in under his coat. And I thought, no, he hasn't forgiven me. He's going for a gun. So I put the campus pastor in front of me. Now, you can laugh. We can find a campus pastor by next Sunday. No, I'm sorry. So he pulls his hand out, and in his hand is a wad of money. Big wad like that, of $100 bills, $10,000. So I quickly move the campus party. And he says, "Pastor, I just want to say thank you for changing my life. When you told me to shut up, I knew God was trying to tell me something. You've helped me so much. I go around the world now, and in every church, everywhere I go, I say, shut up! No, you never know what will come out of it. Come on, stand up with me this morning. I want to do part two at 4:30. I've got 7 grandkids, or 6 and a half grandkids. They're all under 6. That's why I travel a lot. But one of them's a kid about 3 and a half, little boy. And he doesn't talk properly. Boys don't talk as early and as fast and as long as girls. Well, that's a lifetime thing. But he doesn't talk properly. You know, I said, "You want an ice cream?" "Me want ice cream." And I say, no. "This is how you say it, Papa. I would like an ice cream, please." "Yeah, me want ice cream." And so, because I'm a child psychologist, I'd say, no, you talk like baby. You talk like baby. And he puts his chest out like his dad and his papa. And he says, "Me no baby, me big boy." "No, you baby." "Me no baby, you baby." "No, you baby." "Me no baby, Nana, she baby." So I can't argue with that. Here's the point as we pray. Whole lot of people, Christians, talk like babies. You got to stop it. It's time to rise and reveal Jesus, rise in righteousness. "Me no leader. Me just human. Me no special. Me no righteous. Me just struggle." Stop it. It's time to rise and shine. I want you to practice. This is our day. This is our day. I want you to practice this week. Getting up in the morning, going to the mirror. "Whoa. Me big boy. Me righteous. Me shine." You hear what I'm saying? The world's waiting for you to shine. Not with religious church going, but revealing Jesus, upon whom eternal light shines. We can dispel darkness. We can change the world. But you got to rise and shine. I want you to raise your hand to the God of heaven this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, reach out to God right now. Father, we are the people of this generation destined to be a part of the greatest uprising on planet Earth. And we declare, shine your glorious light on us. We won't back away. We'll by faith rise into it so people see more of Jesus, see our righteousness in him, and their lives will be changed by us shining with the light of heaven. Bless each family, every man, every woman, every young person, every old person. Bless them today. May today be a turning point for many where they choose. This is not about created light of religion. This is the glorious light of heaven. And we can rise into it in faith and see the God of heaven do amazing things in our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, You can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.